Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this letter written by Paul, not just to the church in Corinth, but to us as well, to teach us. Praise you, Lord Jesus, that we can open up your word freely and learn from it. I pray that you would help the children and us to do that today. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to start with a question, so you can turn to the person next to you and be honest. Be as honest as you can be. When you've spoken to people who claim to know God, have they come across humble or have they come across proud? Share some examples. Chat to the person next to you. Say what you think.
Okay, let's come back together. I think it is quite true that lots of people, when they say they know God, their attitude towards other people isn't exactly humble. That there is a proud way that they might be with other people, assuming that they're better than others. And that's a problem all the way through the ages and in every culture. And Paul actually puts his finger on this in this letter to Corinth. He says that the church that he is writing to have become proud. And they become proud of what they know. They know a lot of answers. They know a lot of stuff. And yet they become proud and they're looking down on other people. And so it might encourage you, if you're not a Christian, to hear that actually the Bible speaks into this. It doesn't encourage pride. It confronts it. Because actually, as we'll see, there isn't really any room for pride in the Christian life because Christ had to die for sinners. If that is not a humbling message, then I don't know what is. And so really, his love for us should make us people who love others as well. Let's have a look. The first thing that we're going to see is their knowledge, which puffs up. Actually, that's a picture. This knowledge puffs up. So if you look down with me in your Bibles to verses 1 and 2. Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Now you see from verse 1, the issue that Paul is addressing in the church, he's going to talk to them about a question that they've come to him about. And it's a question about food. That looks a bit like a burger. You know, we're nearly in barbecue season, aren't we? It's sort of a bit patchy. You know, we have to pick our times for barbecues. Had quite a nice bit of meat on the barbecue in the afternoon yesterday. Wouldn't have been so good in the morning. Food. He says, now concerning food. Now the particular thing about this food that they have a disagreement about is it's meat that was offered at the temple. And not in the temple to their god, but in the temple to pagan gods. The gods of the Romans, all of the other people around them. And Paul says, in your response to one another about this issue, he will deal with the issue, but in your response to one another, there's pride. Because some of you are saying, oh, we know more than you. You see that? And so he puts his finger on this thing of knowledge. And what he says about their knowledge is that it puffs them up, makes them proud. I've got the picture of the marketplace here, you know, very lifelike. Some of the meat wouldn't have been eaten at the temple. There was a ceremony and a big event that all the community were invited to. And that's kind of what Paul is addressing, the meat that's ate in that kind of context. Some of the meat would have been sold at market. And you wouldn't have known where the meat came from. So the Christians are coming to Paul and they're saying, should we eat this meat? It's a good question, isn't it? Should we be involved in something which is actually, at its very source, something which is a worship to a different God other than you? It's quite a good question, isn't it? Maybe Christians today, you'd have questions about Halloween. You'd say, should I even go trick-or-treating? Or should I even do anything that's involved with this other thing, which is obviously something not to do with the true God? And Christians come across these issues all the time. And the Bible doesn't always give hard and fast rules for those kind of things. So you can imagine that it would be quite easy for some Christians to be saying, oh, we know more than you, or actually, we've got a better view than you, and others are, and looking down on others. Some of them do want to do it, and that's the people we're writing to Paul. And some of them don't want to do it because their conscience is really sensitive, and we'll see why. Now, food sacrifice to idols isn't particularly a live issue for us in Beckentry. Anyone? Are you bothered? You came to church, you thought, right, I really want to get to the bottom of this. I really want to find out whether food sacrifice to idols is allowed because I've got a whole bunch of it in my freezer. And I don't know what to do with it. No, it's not a live issue for us. But there will be other things that fall into this kind of category. And we've got to ask the question, how are we going to deal with one another when we have differing views? Maybe it's stuff to do with how churches run. Maybe it's stuff to do with baptism. Maybe it's stuff to do with different beliefs on all secondary issues. How are we going to deal with one another? Is it going to be some of us who are saying, oh, we know better than you, and looking down on the others? Well, that's what they were doing in Corinth. They were looking down on each other. And that's why Paul has to really address that in the opening few verses. They're saying all of us possess knowledge, but their knowledge has puffed them up. What they know, and they're proud about what they know, and they want to show other people what they know. So really, Paul's dealing not with the surface issue, which is the argument about food. He's dealing with the heart. And he's saying, I can see from the way you're dealing with this issue that your heart is proud, and you're proud towards one another. And it's good that he deals with that issue, isn't it? Because if he just dealt with the argument this time around, there'd be another one next week and another one the week after. But he deals with the heart. And they're proud. Proud about what they know. And we hear some of the things that they're saying that they know in verses 4 to 6. Therefore, as to the eating of food offering to idols, we know that, and here's what they know, an idol has no real existence. So that's the first thing. They know that an idol has no real existence. So it goes without saying that they then think, well, it doesn't exist. So why is it even an issue? And that there is no God but one. And verse 5, for although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as indeed there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father, and one Lord Jesus Christ. So they're saying, we know there's lots of gods, so-called gods, but they don't exist. In fact, for us as believers, there is only one God, the Father, as he reveals himself to be in the Bible. And there is one Lord Jesus Christ. So all of the others, they're just our imagination. They're things that people have thought up for themselves. And so they're saying these are things we know. And they're saying that because we know these things, we're in the right. We will just get on with doing what we want to do because we know that this food, it doesn't mean anything. The idols that are being worshipped, it just doesn't mean anything. They don't even exist. And Paul's answer to them, and they come to Paul expecting Paul to sort of pat them on the back and say, you know, you've got great knowledge. Fantastic. You've aced this exam. That's what they write to Paul expecting. They write to him expecting him to say, yes, you're right. But Paul gives them a pretty different answer to the one they're expecting. They come to him saying, is it right that I eat meat, this meat? And he comes back at them and he says, will it be a stumbling block to your brother or sister? You see that? They're coming at it with a me attitude of, well, would it be okay for me to do this? And he widens it out and he says, have you even considered these people? Yeah? Sorry, I'm talking about you guys over there. But say it was that you guys came from a background where you were involved in animal sacrifices for your religion. And you came to Becontree, and afterwards we had this food, and you said, "Well, look to the back of the packet. Oh, I see that it's coming from that place, that slaughterhouse." Your conscience would be so much more sensitive to it. And it's not right then for everyone else to be saying, "Oh, we couldn't care less." So Paul deals with the pride, and he says, "Your knowledge is one thing, and I know you pride yourself in your knowledge, but I want to talk to you about your love. How much love is going on? Knowledge is one thing, but I want to talk to you about love." He says that, doesn't he? If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought to know. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. And just before, sorry, this knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If it was love, then it would be building up others. Actually, they couldn't care less about that. They're not thinking of anyone else but themselves. And so Paul says, this is not knowledge of God. Whatever knowledge you have, or you imagine that you have, it can't be knowledge of God. That's a pretty shocking thing to say, isn't it? To those who would know their Bibles, and they say, well, Paul, I think you'll find it is actually Bible that we know. Well, he's saying that if the Bible is about God, if it is God's word, then it should lead us to know him. And what is he like? He is self-giving. He is loving. He's not after his own. He does that for other people. He does that for us. And so that's what it will produce when people actually know God. And so all the while they're saying, we know these things. We know these things. If they really knew, and they were getting to know the God that they say they know better, then they would be thinking about how they can love others. Not necessarily about just the whether or not it's right. So Paul does actually answer their question about food sacrifice to idols. He will answer that question. He's not saying that's not important at all and you should never really bother about the answer to that. But he is saying that their love for each other is not there. And they're not thinking of anyone but themselves. Does everyone get that? So knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Even if it is right in the end to eat this meat, because someone else's conscience is weak, and they are going to be damaged by everyone joining in with this, then it must be wrong. So there's the weaker brother or sister. And they're there thinking, this doesn't feel right. Think about another example. Whether or not to go to a nightclub. Some Christians would say, well, I can be a Christian and I can still go to a nightclub. And there's other people whose consciences would tell them that that's not a good thing. As in, I don't feel okay with that. Now, those who know that it's okay to go to a nightclub might want to just go ahead and do it. But then everyone else will be the people who are there looking in, and they're saying, actually, I feel pressure now to go. I feel pressure to join in with something, and actually it would not be right for them to join in. Do you see that? Because their conscience is telling them this is not right. Now, it might be that further down the line they do read more of the Bible and understand something that helps them to realize that it's okay, as long as they don't fall into sin. But at this point in time, they don't feel comfortable. And so for other people, for other Christians to be saying, well, proudly we can get on and do this, and who gives two sods to those guys, that is not loving them. And that is proud. And that's what Paul is dealing with here. His answer isn't the answer that they're expecting from him. They kind of want him to fluff up their ego to sort of, because his opinion matters, They want him to nod along with them as they explain all of their reasons for why they're doing what they're doing. But he really gets under their around their defenses, doesn't he? By asking the question, will it cause your brothers or sister to stumble? Let's have a look at that together. He says in verse 7, however, not all possess this knowledge, but some, through former association with idols, eat food as really offered to an idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. Food will not commend us to God, for we are no worse off if we do eat, and no better off if we do, but take care that this right of yours does not somehow become a stumbling block to the weak. For if anyone sees you who have knowledge eating in an idol's temple, will he not be encouraged, if his conscience is weak, to eat food offered to idols? And so by your knowledge this weak person is destroyed, the brother for whom Christ died. Thus sinning against your brothers and wounding their conscience when it is weak, you sin against Christ. Pretty strong, isn't it? All the while they were thinking, oh, you know, we're just getting on with the freedom that we have, and this is the right I have to get on with what I want to do. And in doing so, Paul is saying, you are sinning against Christ because you are sinning against your brother or your sister. Wow. It wasn't even on their radar. As in, they wouldn't have even been aware of that, but now they are. And Paul is saying, it cannot be right if it is going to cause them to stumble. If it is going to put pressure on them to do something that they don't feel right with doing. So it really, we talked about the pride, didn't we? The pride thing. What does knowing God produce? Well, it produces humble people who are willing to think of others first. The knowledge of Christ, who himself gave of himself and laid his life down for people. And I think this is a real challenge, actually. I've been thinking about this week. You know, sometimes we pride ourselves, don't we, on what we know. And we say, well, we're Bible teaching church. We're well-taught Christians. We know the Bible. And when we come across Christians who perhaps haven't been taught the Bible, how do we respond to them? Is it pride? Is it saying, oh, well, you know, I'm so glad I came along because I could tell you the right answer? And is it really unnerving that this part of the Bible says, well, that's actually not the right answer. We think we've got the right answer, but we don't, because we're not like the God who gives the answers. Do you get that? We're not being humble like him. We're not being self-giving like him. We're being proud and we're self-serving and we're not thinking of others. If they had been asking the love question, they'd have realized that though they had this knowledge, not all possessed it. There were people whose consciences were far more sensitive in that area. And it says because they had recent association, former association with idols, people in their church family who were struggling, who honestly couldn't say, I feel right about this. And if they loved each other enough, they would have known that. And yet they were just thinking of themselves. We're in the middle, aren't we, in the UK, of a drought. There's been images like this flooding our social media, all over the place, videos of things which were beautiful places and now completely dried out. And Paul says, if we're talking about your love levels, that's the picture. That's the picture. It's dry. It's low. There's hardly any love. There's love for yourself, sure, but there's not love for others. There's not love for God, which always translates into love for others. And so I think this is something for us to think about in our own interactions with one another. We're all different, aren't we? We come from different cultural church backgrounds. In our dealings with one another, are we humble, or do we want to show what we know? In our freedom and our exercising of our own freedom as a Christian, am I thinking well of myself and what benefits me, or am I thinking of others? And Paul says something quite striking at the end. He says, if it causes others to stumble, he says, I will never eat meat again. That's surprising, isn't it? It's not, I won't eat the idol meat. He could have said that. He could have said, I'm not going to eat it when they're there. You know, just snaffle it while their back is turned. He could have said that. He says, I will never eat meat again. Verse 13, therefore, if food makes my brother stumble, I will never eat meat, lest I make my brother stumble. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? It's actually a picture of Christ. Because Christ is the most free individual in all of the earth. And yet he came and he gave up his freedom, the freedom of heaven. He gave up his freedom on earth for others, for us. And Paul says, if all it takes is for me to forego this freedom, I would far rather do that than causing my brother to stumble. It's amazing, isn't it? So I think this is something we need to think about together, and we need to talk about in our home groups and stuff. Knowledge of God, Bible studies, do not produce people who are fiercely and proudly independent. They just should not produce people who will die on this hill. Meet sometimes, you know, we do have those opinions, don't we? Well, you find the opinion, you find what it is for you, but you know what it is for other people. I'm going to die on this hill. But it should be produced people who are saying, what will serve my brothers and sisters in Christ? Is my practicing of my own freedom going to cause them to stumble? And if so, I'll give it up gladly. Because Christ loves me. He died for me, and he died for them too. It says in verse 11, the brother for whom Christ died. That's how much Christ loves them. That's how much Christ loves us. And so to give up one thing, in this case eating meat, which is nice, isn't it? We all like a good bacon sandwich. We all like a burger. But if it's giving up that in order for the sake of others in the church family, it's worth doing, isn't it? Let's pray. Father God, thank you that you dig under the surface of the issues that we argue about. Thank you that you know what's going on in our hearts. We're sorry that our ego is puffed up, fat. We're sorry that because of our knowledge about things, we get proud about what we know. We want to show what we know. May that not be the case. Please would you humble us to be like you, to be loving and generous and self-giving, to lay aside our own needs for the needs of others. Will you help us to see where we're not currently doing that? And would you help us to resolve to give up some of the freedoms, that perhaps even the freedoms that we love, for a time in order to serve others and to love them as you do? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.